www.thecommunity.com.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning as we're continuing in our series on the life of Samson that's found in the book of Judges. Little story to start. It may be one that you've heard before, that's okay. But there was a guy who was about to turn 16 who was near going for his driver's license, just a couple of months away. And he was excited to be able to take the car out, but he talked to his dad, and his dad said, look, if you want the privilege of being able to take the car out, there's a few responsibilities I'm going to need to see you step up in. And he said, there's three things that I want to see you do. First of all, I want you to get your grades up. Right? Not that they're bad, but they could be a little bit better, so I want to see you get your grades up. The second thing is I'd like to know that you're reading your Bible a little bit more. It's important for you to understand the scriptures and know God better, and so make sure that you're spending extra time reading your Bible. And third, I hate to say this, but you're looking a little scraggly. I need you to get a haircut. Well, a couple months goes by, and the time comes, the guy passes his test, goes to his dad and says, Dad, can I take the car out? And the dad says, no, I can't let you do that. He said, why not? I got my grades up. Look, here's my report card. Every subject is better. These are the best grades I ever had. He said, that's true. And he said, and I've been reading my Bible. I've been reading it a lot. And so I've discovered a whole lot. I've been spending extra time doing that. And his dad said, yeah, but what about your hair? He said, well, I've been thinking about that, Dad. See, as I've been reading these stories in the Bible, stories of like Samson, you know, he had hair that he wasn't supposed to cut, and Jesus, he probably had long hair too, so I just don't see why it's a big deal. And his dad thought about it a bit. He said, you're right. You're absolutely right. Samson was not supposed to cut his hair. Jesus probably had long hair too, but if you noticed, they also walked everywhere they went. All right, so you can too, right? Okay, so a little Samson tie-in this morning. You know, sometimes though, seriously, as parents, we sometimes make some arbitrary rules. Sometimes we make rules that there just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of reason behind them, but it's how we want our kids to live. So sometimes we're going to face a little resistance from them. When they're little, maybe it's not so bad. You know, kind of a, oh, I don't want to make my bed. Do I have to? Yes, you do. And they get older, and the logic starts to kick in. And I don't get why I have to make my bed. I mean, I'm gone all day. Nobody else is going to go in my room, and I'm just going to get back in it at night and mess it all up again anyway. Why do I have to make it? And we're like, because I said so. And then maybe you even get to the point where there's huge defiance and it's just digging their heels in. And that's just dumb. I'm not doing it. You know, it's my life and I should be able to do whatever I want. That's when we pull out the, well, as long as you live under this roof. You get the idea, right? We make these rules. As parents, we're charged with the task of raising our kids in the way that they should go. We have to instill values, we have to instill practices, the ones that we believe are best, even if they don't understand it or like it. Well, in many ways, it's no different with God. Right? He has this life that he wants us to live. He has a way in which he wants us to go. And so that means there are going to be some rules and some boundaries in our lives. I mean, anyone here, you don't have to raise your hand, but anyone here ever struggle to operate inside of boundaries? I do, right? In our hearts, we're like that little kid or that teenager who's like, I just don't want to do it, right? Well, if you can relate to that at all this morning, and like I said, if you're like me, I know that you can to a certain degree, then my hope is that in our time this morning, we'll maybe come to terms with God's boundaries in a much better way than what we're about to see in the life of Samson. Because Samson, he was a man who was flirting with the forbidden, constantly flirting with the forbidden. And that's our theme for this morning, Samson flirting with the forbidden. Now, if you'd like to follow along, we're going to be looking at the text in Judges chapter 14. There's Bibles back there at the table, and Dave is right by the table, so if you need one and would like to follow along, I'm sure he'll be welcome to bring one to you because I just volunteered him. and how can you say no, right? We'll be in that section of Scripture, Judges 14. But a little bit of setup for this. Last week we started with the story of Samson. We learned that God had sent an angel to promise Manoah and his wife a child, and that this child would begin to deliver the people of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Now, that gave them incredible hope, but there were also some rules or some boundaries that the angel gave Manoah's wife. Some important instructions about Samson and her pregnancy, okay? See, what we find out is that Samson is supposed to live under what's called a Nazarite vow. It's a special vow of dedication to the Lord. And in some cases, it was just a period of time that someone would commit to in their life. But in Samson's case, it was supposed to be from the womb, from the moment he was conceived, until his very last days. So we find some more detailed instructions about that in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. But just to boil it down, there's five rules or boundaries from there and from other instructions in Scripture that Samson was expected to live by, okay? So five rules or five boundaries that Samson was expected to live by. We'll go through them quickly. First of all, no wine. And it was a little more extensive than that. It was a Nazarite vow meant no wine, no strong drink, no wine vinegar, no fresh grapes, no dry grapes, no grape juice, and nothing that was a product of the grapevine, including the seeds or the skins. All right, very specifically laid out there. The second rule was no unclean food. Right, no unclean food. There were certain kinds of food that were prohibited by God for all of Israel, and the Nazarites had to be very strict about living by those standards. The third thing was no haircuts, right? No razor could be used on his head. He had to grow out his hair. The fourth thing was no corpses, right? He couldn't come in contact with a dead body, and he wasn't supposed to even go near one, or he would be considered defiled and unclean. And then the fifth one, no foreign women, okay? Now, marrying the women of the nations around them was off limits. Okay, so those are the five rules. No wine, no unclean food, no haircuts, no corpses, no foreign women. Let's dive into Judges 14 and see how Samson handles these. All right, Judges 14, starting in verse 1, and we're going to go through verse 10. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, "I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." But his father and mother said to him, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among your people that you must go take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes." His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him, roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. After some days, he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it into his hands and went on eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. All right. So we're going to stop there in our text this morning. Let's unpack this a little bit. First, Samson and his father and his mother. Well, first of all, Samson goes to Timnah on his own and he sees a Philistine woman. We'll get to that in a moment. So he wants to go and arrange something with her. So Samson and his father and mother, they come to the vineyards, right? The vineyards of Timnah. Now, since Samson was supposed to have no wine, no strong drink, no fruit of the vine, no product from the vine, shouldn't that verse read something like Samson and his family went to Timnah, and when they came to the vineyards, they went around them? Right? They avoided them because that was forbidden. But that's not what it says. It's like they came to the vineyards. Now, it doesn't say specifically that he ate or drank anything there. But first of all, think about what else would he be doing? What else would he be doing? And even if he didn't partake in anything, you can see he's flirting with the forbidden. Right? That's who he is. Then it says a lion came out roaring. And you know, I like to think about that. Like, maybe that was God's way of warning him, get away. You're not supposed to be by the vineyard, so this lion comes out roaring at him. But regardless, he takes the lion and he tears it apart with his bare hands. The scripture says what? That he tore it apart as someone would a young goat? Anybody ever torn apart a young goat? Well, if you had, Samson could do that with a lion, okay? Hard to relate to that one, I guess, these days, but he tears apart this lion. It's this incredible display of strength, but the problem is now he's come in contact with a dead body, a corpse. And not only has he come in contact with it, but he's the one that caused it to be dead in the first place. Now, according to the Nazarite vow, that would require a cleansing ritual that he would have to go through. But instead, he decides not to tell anyone about it. He just kept it a secret. So when he's coming back through, it says he decided to go take a look at that lion's carcass that he remembered from before. Now again, the rule was don't touch a dead body, but don't go near a dead body. He knew where it was, so why would he go back there? He was supposed to avoid it. Again, he's flirting with the forbidden, right? He could have avoided it pretty easily. Now, if you think about Samson, here he was, he did this incredible feat of strength, tore a lion apart, but that would make him unclean, so he couldn't tell anyone about it. It's likely he went back there to take another look, kind of reminisce a little bit, relive the old glory days of, yeah, when I tore apart that lion, remember that? Because he can't share it with anybody. So he's supposed to avoid it, but instead he heads right towards it, flirting with the forbidden. Now he got close enough to see that there was a swarm of bees living in it, and there was honey. So he scraped some of the honey out. That would qualify as unclean food, which he's not supposed to eat. Furthermore, vow or no vow, that's disgusting, right? Seriously, I've been thinking about this. Scraping it out of the dead body of a lion's corpse. I mean, why would you do something like that? It's just wrong. And so he doesn't tell his parents again. Probably a good move there. but he doesn't tell his parents, and he's in a catch-22 because as he approaches them eating this honey that he's not supposed to have, what does he do? He either has to admit that he did something wrong or, well, I'll just offer some to my parents. So he causes them to sin. And again, on top of that, what kind of sick, demented child would give their parents food from inside a dead corpse? I mean, imagine that your kid was old enough and driving along the highway and saw like a deer roadkill on the side. And there was some hunt. All right, I'm not even going to keep going with the analogy. You get how disgusting that would be. But Samson does this and doesn't tell anyone. And then remember, this whole thing starts with Samson going down to Timnah earlier. We don't know exactly what he was doing there, but we do know that Timnah was much further into Philistine territory than where his hometown was located. It's like he goes into the heart of the things that he was supposed to avoid. And he sees this Philistine woman and tells his parents, get her for me. Right now, remember, she's out of bounds for him. She's considered a foreign woman. And they try and talk him out of it, but he wants what he wants. He loves who he loves. Right? She's the one I want. She's right in my eyes. And then they go back to Timnah together, and this time Samson goes and talks to her. That's harmless, right? They're just talking. They're just talking. Again, what's the big deal? Literally flirting with the forbidden. And later it says he returned to take her. meaning he intended to marry her, right? To take her as his wife and to take her home. So his father goes to the woman, and Samson prepares a feast, as was the custom for a wedding. This was like his bachelor party that was going to happen. And we'll look more into that next week. But this Philistine woman was betrothed or pledged to Samson. They were going to get married. They had, in essence, a legal marriage contract, but they just had not yet consummated that marriage. So here's the scoop with Samson. In 10 short verses, we read about him breaking nearly every vow that he is supposed to keep. He went to the vineyards. He touched a dead body, he ate unclean food, and he married a woman that was forbidden for him to marry. The only vow he didn't break was getting his hair cut. And spoiler alert, if you're not familiar with the story of Samson, that happens later. Okay? He was, well, flirting with the forbidden, he was even going beyond that. Samson chased after whatever was out of bounds for him. Whatever God said no to, he just ran after. And it's ironic. Here's kind of the first point in your notes. It's ironic because Samson's name, it means sunlight, right? The word comes from the word for sun. He, in essence, means sunlight, but he was constantly drawn to darkness. It's ironic of Samson's life. Now, we at our house, we have this fenced-in backyard. And that was really helpful when our kids were little, because we could send them out in the backyard, and as long as they were inside the fence, we didn't have to worry about them too much, right? They could go out there, they could go out and play with toys, they could go out and kick the ball around, they could play on the fort, and we knew they were going to be okay, until Megan decided it would be more fun to climb up on top the fort and walk across the bar that holds up the swings as a balance beam, 8 feet up. But, you know, that's another story, I guess, for another day. But generally, they were outside in the backyard, inside the fence. We didn't have to worry about them. They were where they were supposed to be, and it would keep them safe. Well, that's not as relevant to them anymore. We don't need the fence for that purpose anymore. But now we have a dog, and her name is Maya, and we let her out in the backyard, and she's fine there too, right? We don't have to worry about it. The fence keeps her where she's supposed to be. For Samson, it's like God was putting some rules or boundaries to live by. It's like God built a fence for him. But he just kept jumping the fence. Right? He kept jumping the fence and chasing after the things that were forbidden anyway. Anyone relate to that? Right? We often do the same kind of thing. We don't like rules. We don't like boundaries. We resent them. And even when they're set by God, the moment we see God place something outside the boundaries, it's like something in our heart goes, ooh, that right there. Yeah, I want that. That's right for me. I need that. Get me that. It's tough to stay in the yard. It can be tough sometimes. And so I was thinking about this week, and I thought, you know, if we're going to have any chance of pursuing the kind of life that God wants for us, then we're going to have to come to terms with the reality of there being some boundaries or some rules that he puts in place for us. And because of that, I think we're going to need a couple of realities just to penetrate our hearts. And so I want to give three things that I think we need to embrace about God's boundaries, and they're not, they're fairly simple, but I think they're really important. Okay, the first thing is this: God's boundaries are blessings. God's boundaries are blessings. We have to see them that way. You know, if you think about it, in most of the areas of our life, God has shown us pretty much exactly what he wants from us, like where the line is drawn or where the fence is. All we have to really do is look at the scriptures, and they tell us, hey, here's what I want for you. This is God's heart for us. We don't have to keep guessing. Right? We don't have to keep stumbling in the dark hoping we get it right or hoping we do it the way God wants. He's told us that. He's done that because he wants us to know what it is we shoot for. So in that sense, God's boundaries, they're blessings for us. We get to know his heart. But the second thing is God's boundaries are also beneficial. Right? We've got to grab onto that idea. God's boundaries are beneficial. They're for our benefit. They're for our good. It's so easy to see God putting rules or boundaries or instructions as just something that's supposed to limit us. That's all they're there for, just a bunch of do's and don'ts. God's just a big killjoy. He doesn't want us to have any fun. But his instructions that he gives us are supposed to be guidance for life. They're supposed to be how we can enjoy life as God intends it to be. You know, the one who created life in the first place, he knows a little bit of little something about the kind of life he wants us to live. And think about it, when it comes to God's boundaries as beneficial, how many mistakes in your life could you have avoided if you had just followed God's instructions for your life? Right? How many headaches or how many heartaches have we endured because we just didn't listen to him? You know? I think we can all relate to that. So God's boundaries, they're blessings. God's boundaries, they're beneficial. And then the last thing is this: God's boundaries are best. Right? We have to embrace that these are really the right way to live. We have to get it through our heads that God's boundaries are not just a good idea. They're not just a healthy recommendation or a suggestion to consider. His ways are best for us. Those boundaries, those rules that he puts in place, they're best for us. If we don't grab onto these three things, that God's boundaries are blessings, that his boundaries are beneficial, and his boundaries are best, how are we ever going to have a chance of actually sticking to them and living by them? Because we really don't believe that to be true. Now, I want you to think about, if you can for a moment, and sometimes it might be hard to accept the rule, but I also, just to kind of illustrate this, how God's boundaries are beneficial and best and a blessing, think about the rules that Samson was given, okay? And then consider the deeper significance behind them. And that's what I just want to take a minute to do here. So the first rule was no wine or no strong drink. Well, what was significant about that? Well, God didn't want Samson to be controlled by alcohol, right? He wanted Samson to live under his influence, not under the influence. That was his goal. The second rule is no unclean food, right? No unclean food. He could only eat what was acceptable and outlined by God. Why was that important? Because he wanted Samson to live pure and clean. The third rule, no haircuts. Now, that might seem like a weird one, but in those days, it was actually considered shameful for a man to have long hair like a woman. And so for him to live like that was sort of a humiliating, humbling posture. But here's the deal. Anyone who saw him, it would be obvious to them that he was under a vow from the Lord. And that was the point. God wanted it to be obvious. He wanted him not to keep his faith private, but to live with a visible faith. God wanted Samson to live with a visible faith. No corpses, no dead bodies. Don't even go near one. Well, why would that be important? Well, God wanted him to avoid any path that could lead to death. And what ultimately leads to death? It's sin. So it was a reminder, a way of saying, Samson, I want you to avoid or live separated from sin that leads to death. And the last one, no foreign women, the fifth one, God had warned the people of Israel that the idols that their foreign nations worshipped, the women's idols, would ultimately lure them away from God. And God wanted his children for himself. He wanted them to stay faithful to him. So he forbid them to marry outside the faith, because God wanted Samson to share his life with someone who shared his faith. Now, when you look at the significance behind the boundary, instead of just looking at the rule or just looking at the boundary itself, it looks a whole lot different, doesn't it? Right? God cares about us deeply, and he wants us to know that these boundaries, they're a blessing. They're intended to be a blessing. They're intended to be beneficial for us. They're intended to be best. Now, fortunately, we're not obligated to some sort of Nazirite vow like Samson was, right? But I would like to suggest that the heart behind those rules, those boundaries, is still something God longs for us and is relevant to today. Right? Think about it. God wants us not to live under the influence, but to live under his influence. That's even why the New Testament tells us and instructs us, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? He wants us to live under his influence. God wants us to live pure and clean. Right? God wants us to live out our faith in public, to have a visible faith. Jesus pointed out, look, no one lights a lamp and then sticks it under a bushel, but they put it on a lampstand so it's going to give light to the whole house. God wants us to live out our faith visibly, live with a visible faith. He wants us to live separate from sin. So he says, walk as children of the light and have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. And if we are going to share our life with someone, it's his desire that we share it with someone who shares our faith. Right? The New Testament scripture says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, meaning don't be a follower of Jesus and then commit your life to someone who doesn't believe what you believe. And as hard as that might be sometimes, he wants us to share our life with someone who shares our faith. That's his ideal. So these are the rules or boundaries that were in place for Samson. They're still relevant in many ways for us today. The question is, will we choose to live by them? Or will we be like Samson, who just kept flirting with the forbidden? Who was supposed to, his name was meant sunlight, but instead of being sunlight, he was drawn to the darkness. Will we stay in the backyard, right, inside the fence? Or are we looking to jump the fence and chase after what God has put off limits and out of bounds for us? I think if we want to have any chance of staying in where he wants us to be, of living the kind of life that he has in store for us, which is a great life because he knows best, we have to come to terms in our hearts that God's boundaries for us, they are blessings. That God's boundaries for us, they're beneficial. God's boundaries for us, they are truly what's best. I want to close this morning in a moment of prayer about these things in our life. And you may be thinking of certain things as we've talked this morning that are a real challenge, are a real stretch for you. It's so easy to, you know, we know what's in the backyard. We know what's inside the fence, but there are these things that just keep wanting that are outside the fence, that are off limits, that God wants us to say no to and to follow him. And if you have a struggle like that, I want to pray for us this morning along these lines, all right? So would you join me in prayer as we close? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for letting us see the ways of Samson, even though they were not in line with your heart, that he broke these vows, broke these boundaries, broke these rules. But your desire behind them is so good for us. And God, for the areas in our life that we are struggling with truly trying to follow you, you know what those are. You know the battles inside of us. You know the battles in our mind, the battle in our heart to try to keep on track with you. And we pray that you would give us the strength to pursue you, to keep our eyes focused on you, to keep running after and chasing after Jesus and not the things that are out of bounds. And to do that, we ask you to help us settle in our hearts that your boundaries for us, they truly are blessings. Because now we know what it is you want for us, that they truly are beneficial, that they're good and are designed to help us have a great life, and that your boundaries are best. Not just some good idea to consider, but the best way to live. Help us to settle that in our hearts. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word and the time that we've had in worship. We want to commit these things to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.